Let us turn again to the Word of God and read in the book of Psalms, Psalm 121. A Song of Degrees. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even for evermore. Verse 8 especially, the Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even for evermore. How assuring the Lord is to us. He repeats the assurance that the Lord keeps us. The words, the Lord will keep, or the Lord shall preserve, is for the third time repeated. In verse 5, the Lord is thy keeper. In verse 7, the Lord shall preserve thee. And verse 8, our text, the Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in. So, friends, what are we to make of this? Well, we learn two things, really. One, the Lord is so ready to assure his children of his care. But also, it tells us more than we realize about ourselves, perhaps more than we might even be prepared to admit. And this is our weakness. The Lord is teaching us through this repetition of his keeping his people, that we are weak, that we are prone to unbelieving fears. So that the Lord, as it were, finds it necessary to assure us again and again of his love and care. You see, when the Lord emphasizes certain things to us, it's always for a reason. When he repeats something to us, it means it is especially important. It means also we are apt to forget it. We are prone to lose the benefit of God's promise, and we are liable to going back to doubt and despondency. These countless promises tell us, therefore, how much we need God's assurance, because we are so likely to sink in gloom and dejection. As one commentator puts it, good men, notice he says good men, and that is God's people, good people, those who have grace. He says something very ironic. Good men must be very unbelieving to make it necessary for the Almighty so often to assure them of his preserving and protecting care, as he does no less than five times in this psalm. The Lord calms our fears. We are fearful, but the Lord helps us, and he gives us these promises to encourage us, to bolster us, so that when we are beginning to sink, the word of God will buoy us up. God is ready to silence the misgivings of his weak and tempted people. And friends, really, it shows us how inexcusable we are when we have these promises at our fingertips, that we should then give in to doubting our safety and God's care for us. When the promise is before us, how we should lay hold of it, like a man who is drifting past the riverbank, snatches at the life rope that is thrown out to him. So these promises, as numerous as they are, friends, we need them all. Don't neglect them. If we neglect them at our peril and discomfort, so we should lay hold of them for our life, yes, for our comfort and joy while we are in this present world. Perhaps the child of God may have a good memory, and we may think about how the Lord has preserved us in the past and even now in the present. But we may be tempted, will the Lord preserve us in the future? What will we meet with in time to come? Well, we have the assurance before us in our text, Psalm 121, verse 8, "The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore." There is no need to doubt about God's all-embracive keeping. He will keep you now. He will keep you in the future. He will keep you forever. God's keeping is all-inclusive and includes eternity. And so, with the Lord's help this evening, we will notice, first of all, the place of preservation at the going out and the coming in, and secondly, the time of preservation, that is, from this time forth and even forevermore. The place and the time of preservation. And friends, remember, it begins by faith in Christ. We need to look to God revealing himself in Jesus Christ. Go to Jesus who was crucified. He was crucified for sinners, that through his death upon the cross, sinners might have life. Go to him for life and salvation. First of all, the place of preservation. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Thy going out and thy coming in. Here the Lord promises to keep his people always, and in particular, thy going out and thy coming in, the exit and the entrance. He will keep you at the exit. He will keep you at the entrance. And you might say, well, why not the other way around? Why does it say thy going out first and thy coming in second? Well, probably because the original reference is to man going out for work and returning home in the evening. As we sang in Psalm 104, verse 23, "Man goeth forth unto his work and to his labor until the evening." So a man gets up in the morning and walks out the door and goes to work. He finishes his job in the afternoon and he comes back in the evening. Coming in through the door, he's welcomed by all his family. So the Lord is promising to keep his people at all times in every situation, in all the changes that they meet with. Perhaps we could say this promise before us is the summary or climax of what has been said before in the psalm. The Lord keeps his people safe from falls, verse 3. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. Verse 3 again, he watches over them and never slumbers. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. And God promises to be the covenant God and keeper of his people. Verse 4, "Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." And God is the overshadowing protector of his people. Verse 5, "The Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand." And he keeps them both night and day. Verse 6, "The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night." And he keeps them from all evil, and he keeps them at all times, in every situation, whether they're going out or coming in the daily routine of life. The Lord keeps those who trust in him. Yes, the Lord will keep his people in every place, in the workplace. When people go out to work and they go about their employment, God will keep those who trust in him. In all walks of life, whatever your occupation is, whatever you hope to do when you go about your work again, whether it's indoors or outdoors, a desk job or practical manual labor, whatever the type of work is, God will keep you. Some have dangerous jobs outside. People have different kinds of work, like the police and firefighters, people in the military, people who are in construction and working with machinery. They wear their hard hats, they have their proper shoes, they're using the means of safety, and they have all the proper equipment, but it is the Lord who keeps them safe. So, whether at work or at home, God will keep those who are looking to him safe. He will preserve them. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in, at work or at home. And how many accidents occur in the so-called safety of our own home? That sharp knife, the corner of the coffee table, the second floor, often prove the home to be not so safe after all. But if we are trusting in the Lord, we find our true safety in Him. Whether at home or abroad, people are not traveling much right now, and we don't know when overseas travel will recommence, but whenever it does, the Lord promises to keep us, to watch over us, to uphold us. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. You will not suffer a total and final fall. God will keep you from all evil. The Lord shall preserve thy going out as well as thy coming in. The Lord will keep us in every situation, in the home, outside the home, in lockdown, we may say, and outside of it. And we do face many uncertainties. And some of us, no doubt, perhaps all of us, are hoping everything will go back to normal soon, while others may be more skeptical and feel that normalcy is a long way off and perhaps it will never be the same again. We don't know. But whatever the future holds, we are certain that it will contain many changes, many fluctuations of life. And you see, friends, change is the operative word in the subject before us. What is more different than going out and coming in? These are opposites. You can't have a greater change than whether you're going out or going in. It's a complete change. But God promises to be with us throughout the changes of life. Whatever we go through, however great the change, we're constantly experiencing change. But God is promising to preserve our going out and our coming in always. And that is so important, friends. Why? Because Satan is ready for our changes. We're not ready. Not ready like we should be. We're unprepared for the changes, but Satan is ready for us in all our changes. He's ready for us to halt. He's ready for us to be overwhelmed when the change comes. We're so surprised when the change is. Satan is not. He is ready for it. And he knows that we're not always prepared for the change, and he will take advantage of it. It's a new opportunity for him to attack when we're unaware, when we are ready to be anxious and even overwhelmed, and he can come just when we are at our weakest point, and he can tempt us to be so caught off our guard in regard to the changes we meet with that we are attending toward disagreements and division, filling us with pride, and again, most likely, he will tempt us to anxiety in regard to all the change. But friends, what a promise we have before us to support us throughout all the changes of life in this world. As Spurgeon puts it, it is for these weak points that a special security is provided. Jehovah will keep us when the door opens and closes. Again, how we should make use of this particular promise in these particular situations. When we are moving from one chapter of life to another, friends, the chapter concludes, another chapter begins, and we're to look to the Lord to help us in all of these different chapters of our lives. And isn't this to be truly blessed when we're looking to Him? If we are trusting in the Lord, we are blessed always. If we are following His ways and seeking to do His will, endeavoring to do it, God promises to bless us wherever we are, whenever it may be. As we read in Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 6, "Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. Coming in, going out, coming in, God will bless you as well as preserve you, and he will provide for you. We may suffer loss in this world, and we will feel the pain of the affliction, no doubt. And the Lord Jesus cares and sympathizes with us. But he is also promising to meet our needs, all of them. And in the verse just before the one we quoted, we are told, Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 5, "Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store." You see, God will not keep back from us any good thing if we are endeavoring to walk uprightly before him, keeping his commandments. Blessed indeed. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. Friends, this blessing extends throughout the whole of life, even to eternity. So we come in the second place to the time of preservation. As we read, "The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore." Here is God's promise to help us at all times, at this present moment and in the future as well. And we may apply it to the time of infancy. We can't remember our infancy, and those of us who can even get good from the promise are beyond physical infancy. But what about spiritual infancy? When the sinner is born again, when the child of God is a new convert, when there is so much uncertainty because there is so much to learn, so much to experience. But child of God, the Lord will keep you as you enter into the fold of his people, into the sheepfold of God's people. He will teach you, he will lead you, he will guide you as you go out into the field of this world. When there are dangers lurking about you, God promises to preserve you. You're going out and you're coming in from this time forth in spiritual infancy to spiritual maturity. God will protect you from all evil and help you in regard to temporal things and spiritual things. And indeed, God will keep his people in their literal youth when they are feeling strong but they are still inexperienced. God will keep his people in their adulthood when they are more mature and more useful, and in middle age, when thinking of the dangers and uncertainties of later life, and in old age, when the metaphorical sun is setting and things enjoyed in life are but as shadows that flit across our path. But you see, God will keep us to the very, very end of our life. As someone has said, "He has not led me so tenderly thus far just to forsake me at the very gate of heaven." No. If God has carried us so far during our life, he will not leave us when we come to die. He will lift us up as on eagle's wings. He will carry us all the way upward to glory. So, quoting Spurgeon again, "When we go out in the morning to labor and come home at evening tide to rest, Jehovah shall keep us. When we go out in youth to begin life and come in at the end to die, we shall experience the same keeping. Our exits and our entrances are under one protection." That is a good quote. Our exits and our entrances are under one protection, and that is, "The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore." So we go on toward the future. When we consider our present circumstances, we believe that we've passed the worst stages of the spread of this coronavirus and the cases are fewer and fewer. We look forward to some kind of regularity in our lives, and yet there may be lingering fears. Will there be a second wave of the virus? We don't know. But whatever may threaten our comfort zone, the Lord will keep us from anxiety, because our safety and our outward comfort are not coextensive. They're not one and the same. We may have outward routine and comfort taken away. It may be, we don't know. But safety comes from the Lord. My safety cometh from the Lord, who heaven and earth hath made. So the Lord will preserve us from all evil. He will preserve our souls. So the child of God going out to work, whatever it may be, may very well say, when I step out the door and I travel to work on the dangerous motorway, God will keep me safe. When work is over and I'm ready to drive back home, and a colleague tells me about a motor crash because traffic is heavier and people are not used to it, he warns me about it. Yes, I can say, but the Lord will keep me safe. My colleague says, but you may receive a severe injury. Yes, but I'm still safe. But what if it is so serious you have to go to ICU? It may be so, but I'm still safe. But what if your heart stops beating and they take you off life support? What then? That may indeed happen, but I am still safe and better off too, because underneath me are the everlasting arms. I am kept now, I am kept forever. I will be brought to my Savior. In even this moment, I am healthier than the man who has the best immune system. I am safer than the person who has the best security agency. I am safe because my safety cometh from the Lord, and to depart and to be with Him is far better. God will keep His people to eternity. He will keep the church. Yes, God will always have a church to worship Him on earth. Christ has promised, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, so that the church militant will join the church triumphant in heaven above. And the Lord will keep the individual believer. The private believer is safe in the arms of Christ. Christ will carry you through this life to the next. He will uphold you in the midst of this world of sin and suffering. He will carry you onward to the end of your spiritual journey and bring you to the gates of eternal glory. And those gates will open for you because you are justified by faith, not by your works. And you have a right and title to heaven by the blood of Christ. And so, as God has given you a firm footing by His grace, He will also preserve you to the end. And friends, what we can learn from the text before us is many things. Time will not allow for everything. But how thankful we should be for safety. Have we sufficiently thanked the Lord for the safety we have thus enjoyed? We've been kept from a terrible road accident. Well, it's the Lord who kept us safe. The children are still healthy. It's the Lord who keeps them healthy. Give the Lord the glory for it. We tend to praise physicians and engineers for our health and safety, and indeed we give the credit to whom it is due. But our physical well-being and our spiritual safety, all is from the Lord, and be thankful to Him every day for the keeping He gives us. The Lord keeps us, the self-existent, eternal, and unchangeable God, Jehovah, who has all power. He is all-wise. He is infinite in power as well as pity, and He will preserve us from all evil, for He is the good shepherd. And He has promised His people that He will keep them. He came to give them life, and that more abundantly. And He says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The sheep come in to Christ, and they are safe in the all-embracing arms of the blessed Savior. The sheep go out to feed on green pastures of His word, and to feed spiritually on Himself for the nourishment of their souls. The Lord Jesus laid down His life for the sheep, and they are truly safe. And He will lose none of them for whom He died. He says, no man shall be able to pluck them out of His hand. And so God's people are perfectly safe. and they will be perfectly preserved, to heaven itself, where they shall behold the face of God in light and glory, and all tears will be forever wiped away. They shall see his face. And friends, are we laying all of this to heart? You see, there is something which is even more difficult to eliminate than COVID-19, and what is that? Unbelief. How unbelief takes hold of the heart. It's like a viper that bites us and won't let us go until we receive a divine cure. Did not the apostles themselves learn, even the hard way? As Thomas said, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." Oh, let us believe his word and recognize indeed that we have to struggle with unbelief. As Calvin states, we are so inclined to distrust. We should therefore gather whatever we can out of the scriptures that speaks of the providence of God until this doctrine that God always keeps watch for us is deeply rooted in our hearts. Oh, let us start pleading the promise now. Start believing now, and then we will have more and more comfort. Again, what excuse do we have when the Lord assures us so many times the word preserve and the word keep in this psalm are the very same word, and that word keep occurs in our psalm no less than 6 times. The Lord will keep us. The Lord will keep us. Indeed, he will keep us. Until we are almost overwhelmed with the idea that the Lord will keep his people. And will this not satisfy us to eliminate unbelief? In fact, the promise should kill unbelief. Quoting Spurgeon again, 3 times we have the phrase, "Jehovah shall keep," as if the sacred Trinity thus sealed the word to make it sure. Ought not all our fears to be slain by such a threefold flight of arrows? What anxiety can survive this triple promise? This keeping is eternal, continuing from this time forth, even forevermore. So friends, let us look to the hills to fight sin, to combat unbelief, that we might get grace to live as an example for others in faith and love, being fruitful in well-doing. Oh, as Richard Sibbes said, let us do all the good we can, yes, in the short life that we have on the earth. Friends, in conclusion, unbelief is real. And if you're struggling with unbelief and you doubt perhaps even the power of God to save you, well, unbelief will not go away by closing your Bible. You may be despairing of salvation, but you will not be saved by turning away from the truth. You have tried to believe and repent, but believing and repenting is not to be expected by failing to use the means of grace. Use the means of grace diligently and ask for the grace of the Holy Spirit and look to the hills of the means of grace and Christ himself. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. Those hills, that is where Jerusalem is. That is where the temple is. That is where the Ark of the Covenant is. That is where the mercy seat is. And I'm looking to him who is symbolized by the mercy seat, and that is Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, God reconciled in Christ. Friend, go to Jesus. Go to his blood and righteousness. Go to Christ and him crucified, and receive salvation. You will be delivered from hell, saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation, and the Lord will keep you throughout the remainder of your life on earth, even to the gates of heaven. O, set ye open unto me the gates of righteousness, then will I enter into them, and I, the Lord, will bless. May he bless his word. Let us pray. Lord, have mercy upon each of us. Bless thy holy word to our souls. May we look to Christ, who was represented by the temple and the Ark of the Covenant. And may we, as Jonah, say, I will look again to thy holy temple. I will lift up mine eyes to the hills. That is where my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Lord, we are not able to save ourselves, but may we fall into the arms of Christ, that we may be covered in his righteousness, washed in his blood from all the stains of sin, that we might be accepted in the Beloved and have the assurance of eternal safety, that whatever we meet with in this world and all the uncertainties and fluctuations of life, we may rest assured that our times are in thy hands, that our feet are upon the solid ground of thy grace and thy assurance of comfort and love and safety. Bless us then in Christ, and forgive all our sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us conclude singing to God's praise from Psalm 121. Verse 1. I to the hills will lift mine eyes, from whence doth come mine aid. My safety cometh from the Lord, who heaven and earth hath made. Thy foot he'll not let slide, nor will he slumber that thee keeps. Behold, he that keeps Israel, he slumbers not nor sleeps. The Lord thee keeps, the Lord thy shade on thy right hand doth stay. The moon by night thee shall not smite, nor yet the sun by day. The Lord shall keep thy soul, he shall preserve thee from all ill. Henceforth thy going out and in, God keep for ever will. Psalm 121, from the beginning to God's praise. I to the hills will lift mine eyes.
I to the hills will lift mine eyes, from whence doth come mine aid. My safety cometh from the Lord, who heaven and earth hath made. Thy foot he'll not let slide, nor will he slumber that thee keeps. Behold, he that keeps Israel, he slumbers not nor sleeps. The Lord thee keeps, the Lord thy shade on thy right hand doth stay.
Let us conclude. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.